that you would worship him in spirit and truth. So tonight, joining me live again tonight out of Conyers, Georgia, the world's foremost authority on the lunar Sabbath of the fourth commandment. And it says very distinctively in the Bible that the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Now, if you remember the Sabbath day and you keep it holy, then you're blessed, because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if a man says he won't love me, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Brother Arnold, I know tonight that you are very anxious to get started here on our subject. And again tonight, it's the Sabbath. Now, we're going to bring up in the latter half of our message tonight, we're going to read out of some teaching that denies the lunar Sabbath in favor of a seventh-day rotation cycle. And we're going to comment on that. And tonight we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to take issue with some of the things that are being taught around the Internet, especially. These people like to hide behind their websites. And finally, Brother Arnold, I do believe that we've got someone that's going to come on and debate you live on the radio program as soon as we can announce it, and we'll set up a time that you and the brother can get together and set a time for the debate. So let's announce that for the people tonight to be anticipating it and to be ready, because I believe there's going to be a lot to learn from this debate.
That's right, Brother Buddy. We're going to, it's a brother, and a lot of you are going to be surprised who it is. A lot of you know him. And it's finally somebody come forth after 10 or 12 years here, and they're going to stand up for what they believe, and you got to respect somebody for doing that.
Amen.
There's other people, like you said, they just hiding behind their articles and the books, but they won't come out, so we can't debate them, so we'll just go ahead and debate their books.
Praise
We'll debate their writings. I mean, you know, a lot of people think debate's a bad word for their scripture. There's a verse in the Bible talks about debating this now, but it ain't talking about this kind of debate. Because Paul then went in synagogues daily and debated, you know. And so, you know, if you want to call it something else, we'll call it earnestly contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints.
Well, that's exactly what we want. You know, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. And Brother Arnold, there's a lot of ways to look at the elephant that's presented here on this Sabbath issue. It is a giant elephant, and it needs to be viewed from every possible angle to make every word, every jot, and every tittle. We want to place that properly in the Bible. Now, what about those that would say that the lunar people that say the 15th is the Sabbath, the worship Sabbath? And of course, we're talking about here in respect to the Feast of Passover, which began on the 15th. And then we have been accused of having people to believe, because they say that the quail came in on the 15th, Brother Arnold. And we want to cover that. If you will, would you go through the scriptures here in Deuteronomy chapter 16? And
I think that's Exodus 16.
Oh, I'm sorry. Exodus 16, that's right.
Yeah, that's a lot of people argue. They'll either argue that they're traveling on it or either the quail. But it's because they're looking for something to try to disprove lunar Sabbaths more than they're looking for the truth of the matter.
Correct.
Let's look over here in Leviticus. Exodus 16. Did I say Leviticus?
Yeah, you said Leviticus. It's Exodus chapter 16.
You said something else, and I said something else.
I think I said Deuteronomy, and you said Leviticus, but...
We'll get it right here in a minute.
We'll
Exodus
right.
16.
Okay.
It said, and they took their journey. Now, in the Septuagint, reads a little different, a little plainer. But anyhow, they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And well, let's just skip on down, and you know most of it, but to save time. And then Yahweh said unto Moses, verse 4, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Now remember, he's telling them this on the 15th.
Right.
No question about it. I don't think anybody argues against that.
Correct.
That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no.
Amen.
And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, he's going to give them a certain rate for 6 days, right?
Right.
Verse 6, And Moses and Aaron said unto all the congregation of children, At evening, now this is a word that's used there in Genesis, to end the day. In other words, there's another word evening here, we'll deal with it, means between the evening.
Okay.
This word right here, Moses and Aaron says, At evening, then you shall know that Yahweh have brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Okay.
In other words, 8 of the 15th is over. You're going to know something.
Right.
Because that word, even there, is Erev. It means, you know, that's when the day ends. But anyhow, and in the morning, in other words, you got evening and morning, just like in Genesis. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of Yahweh.
Okay.
Now, that's going to be your manna here. But anyhow, for he heard you murmurs against Yahweh, and what are we that you murmur against us?
Okay.
And Moses said, This shall be when Yahweh shall give you in the evening flesh to eat. Now that word, I probably should look at that. That may be between the evenings right there.
Okay.
It don't matter. Between the evenings. And in the morning, no, it would have to be Arab too, I think. But then, and in the morning, bread to the full. For Yahweh have heard your murmurs, which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurs are not against us, but against Yahweh.
Oh.
And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before Yahweh, for he hath heard your murmurs. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at evening, this word here is definitely between the evening, you shall eat flesh. And they say this.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute here, Brother Arnold. It says that that's the word that it uses at even, and so the 15th is drawing to a close, and they still haven't got any quail in. Isn't it a fact that quail, they roost, you know, just like a bird, its nature is to roost in the evening. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The quail didn't come till the end of the day.
All right.
But now I'm going to show you in verse 13, we'll get down there, that the quail definitely, the scripture said they didn't come till then. But Yahweh had told them, he said, between the evenings you're going to eat flesh, but you can't eat that flesh till it lands. But anyhow, listen to this. And in the morning, you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, your mighty one.
Now, all
verse
right.
13, here it is.
Okay, now wait a minute, wait a minute, Brother Arnold.
All right,
now, here we've got the quail coming in after the Sabbath 15th is ended at even.
Right.
And so they have all night long to gather these quail because they come in and now the next morning they find the bread, so now we're going to have quail, and that's a pretty good meal. You know that for yourself. Have you ever? Yeah, and then they're frying up that quail for breakfast, and now they get their bread to go along with it. Now that's the 16th, is that correct?
Correct. The 16th begins there at evening. That's when they got the quail. And the 16th morning is when they got their manna.
Okay.
See, morning, there's two different Hebrew words for morning and tomorrow. See, it said in the evening you're going to get the quail, and in the morning of the same day. See, that say tomorrow.
Right.
If they got quail on the 15th, they would have said tomorrow you get manna.
Gotcha.
But they got quail at that evening, and verse 13 proves it. Listen, they were talking about it. Now it said, and it came to pass that at evening the quails came up.
At
evening is the end of the day. That ain't between it. That's the word end. See, the quail didn't come to it got evening. and it covered the camp, and in the morning of the same day that you rode round about the host.
And it came to pass at even, not on the 15th now.
That's Arab, yeah. That's Arab. That's the word for, like in Genesis, the even and morning.
That's a Hebrew word for even, is Arab.
Arab and Volker is even and morning.
And the quails came up and covered the camp in the evening. In the evening.
That's when they roost, yeah.
And in the morning, the dew lay around about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost, on the ground. Now, this is the bread, correct? It was there on the morning, and the quail came in after the 15th, so there was nobody breaking the Sabbath by cooking or cleaning or preparing the meal, because, as you say, you can't prepare the quail until the quail get there.
And it wasn't
on the 15th, Brother Arnold. It was on the even.
Right, the 16th, which begins the 16th. Like the unleavened bread begins on the 14th day at even. That's Arab. That's the end of the 14th. And it goes to the 21st day at evening, Arab again. So, you know, this word here is telling you that the quail didn't come till that evening, and in the morning of the same day, didn't say the bar, but let's say, give them the benefit of the doubt, which is no doubt, but let's say the quail came at, say, 3 o'clock on the 15th.
Okay.
And in the morning, would have to still be the 16th, right?
Correct.
Okay, he said they'd get it 6 days. So the first day of getting it is the 16th. Then you got the 17th, 18th, that's 3 days.
Okay.
19, 20, 21. The 21st is going to be the 6th day.
Wait a minute.
He said, you'll find it next day, which is the 22nd. He said, that's the Holy Shabbat.
That's
so if you count backwards from the 22nd, you'll see that the 15th is also a Shabbat.
Amen.
Therefore, why try to get them cleaning quail on the Holy Shabbat? Why not just obey the scripture where it said the quail didn't come till it got evening, till the 15th was over? That's why he said at evening you're going to get this quail. See, he don't give them no quail there to clean. And this is another example to let you know that the 15th was the week of Sabbath.
Amen.
Well, he would have given quail right then, but he didn't do it till it got evening.
Well,
and then they eat the quail between the evenings.
Right on.
See, a lot of people think between the evenings can only refer to around 3 o'clock when they kill the sacrifices of the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And that is between the evening. See, there's only one evening in a day. So let's say from the 14th day at evening, which begins the 15th. Well, when the 15th day gets at evening, it'll end. So anywhere between the evening, you got a 24-hour space of time. So they made a distinction. Like over there in Deuteronomy, it said that it was killed the Passover on the 14th day between the evenings at the going down of the sun. See, if they hadn't said at the going down of the sun, they might could have killed it at night or something. You
gotcha.
See what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Yeah,
so
sure.
A lot of people's not aware that this is talking about that there's a between the evening before sunrise and there's a between the evening at the going down of the sun. This right here is conclusive proof that there's between the evening, because you can't eat no quail until they come. So they didn't come until the evening, Arab, that's when the day was over, the 15th was over, Sabbath, which we believe to be a Sabbath. The quail came, and then between the evenings, before morning, they eat these quails and clean them, cook them, eat them there. And in the morning of the same day, not tomorrow, but the same morning, had they got them on the 15th, and then the man on the 16th, they would have said, tomorrow you'll get manna. But it's, tomorrow, but they didn't say, it said in the morning.
In the morning. Okay.
Two different meanings of the words.
All right, so we want people to take a note. Now let me review this, Arnold, and you reiterate just what you have given us here. Now there is some people that try to discourage people from believing in the lunar Sabbath, that they say that those believers of the lunar have got people eating the quail on the 15th day and, you know, plucking the feathers and working around on the 15th. But again, now I'm gonna read the scripture again to you. Verse 6, then I'm gonna read verse 13. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel. Now this is the 15th day that the message came down, the word of Yahweh to his gathering congregation on the 15th, correct?
Right.
At even, then you shall know that Yahweh hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall see the glory of Yahweh, for he has heard your murmurings. They murmured for flesh.
Yeah, at the end of the day is when he said you're going to see it, at evening.
It especially says here in verse 6 now, which is the 16th day clearly, at even. Now, notice again to confirm it. And it came to pass, verse 13, you just read this one. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up. Now, they didn't come up until the evening.
That's right.
They didn't come up on the 15th day at 3 o'clock. They didn't come up at the 15th day at 12 o'clock or at even at 6 o'clock. They came in the even, which is the end of the Sabbath. And
right.
Now the quails are positioned to come and roost. And basically, the natural and nature is the process here. Although a strong east wind from the coast blew these quail off course to come in at even, and it came to pass at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning they got their bread. Now, Brother Arnold, it's very true that people that try to refute this, they blow smoke. And if you read their attempt to blow smoke, now, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and we're going over to another account of these things that they talk about. In other words, the Sabbaths are the lunar Sabbaths are not correct, and the Shabbats of Yahweh are listed at Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. So. And in the book of Exodus, where we were talking about, in 16:1-18. Now, are there examples of work done on the first day of the moons? In other words, they're going to say, okay, because there's only one holy day mentioned in the Bible. Now, that's in Numbers 29:1, Brother Arnold. That is the only, that they say here that the only time that you're to rest on a new moon and do no servile work is on the new moon of the seventh month, and all the other moons, new moons, which would be the other 11 or 12 months depending on the 13 cycle count, that you could go ahead and work on that. Now, isn't that taking a lot into account of their own when they deny the word of Yahweh, where there's examples, and here I'm just reading your little booklet right here, that there's over 80 examples along with Brother Arnold. You've done a lot of research in history, Josephus, for one, and Philo, and we're talking about, and later on we're going to bring in the American Indians and their traditions, Brother Arnold, and that's something that you haven't even mentioned and we haven't even got to. There's just tons of history that we could prove that the new moon was connected to. And of course they try to separate it, even over in the book of Isaiah in 66, they post a quote, I'm going to read it to you just a minute, and show you how they try to do away in the millennial kingdom that there won't be any new moon observance over there, which is contrary to the book of Ezekiel chapter 46, example after example after example.
And Isaiah 66.
Yeah, Isaiah 66 verse 23 is the one that they attack. They say that we're going to keep the Sabbath, but that was the seventh day Sabbath. This is their reasoning. But that the new moon, because the separation of the new moon and the Sabbath is it's not conjoined together. In other words, it has no relationship bearing on the new millennial kingdom that we would even consider to keep a new moon?
Well, you know, it's easy to say anything. The scripture says prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Back to Ezekiel over there, I'm sorry, Exodus 16 there, what we're talking about, what they're doing, Brother Buddy, is they're not searching for truth. What they're doing is focusing in on the 15th, trying to make it not be a weekly Sabbath. And if they would read just a little further, it's a weekly Sabbath. It don't matter if they got quail or traveling or what, because the 16th was the first day of manna. So the 16th is the first day of the week. They got manna on the first day of the week, which is the 16th. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. That's 6 days.
All right.
And they didn't get it the next day because he said it's the holy Shabbat, which would be the 22nd. Now listen, they're so focused, they're not focusing wanting to know the truth. They're focusing to how to disprove the 15th being a weekly Sabbath. And they get themselves in a mess. And it took me 4 years, look like day and night, in debating, which printed over on a form, to get them to finally admit this. And I got another brother, dear brother of mine. As a matter of fact, possibly one would be debating. I've been working on him 10 years now, and he ain't seen it yet. Hopefully, he listens. Okay. He brags about not listening to nobody on the short wave, but I told him that ain't necessarily a good thing. Sometimes, you know, listen, because I don't listen either, except when called Brother Buddy maybe the last 5 minutes or somebody. But, you know, we should be looking for truth. And I tell people what I'm going to be bringing to them if we debate. Of course, they want to keep theirs a secret and try to bring on surprise, but I don't mind. I don't worry about no surprises. When you, truth don't worry about no surprises.
Amen. Truth.
It's not afraid of any open debate.
Amen.
It's not afraid of scrutiny.
Brother Arnold, we
I don't know something, Brother Bud. I just say I don't know. That's a good question. I give me some time to look at that.
Well,
I don't necessarily have to pray about all these things. I don't pray over John 3:16. Where it says, for Yahweh so loved the world, it gave his own blood. I just believe it. I don't pray over that scripture where it says that the moon is for appointments or moeds, and that the weekly Sabbath is a moed appointment, talking about worship appointment. I don't pray over that. I just believe it.
Okay. All right. Now, let me show you something. Let me read up.
Scripture don't teach us to pray over his word. It teaches us. He leaves somebody to believe something.
It says to rightly divide it, and to read it and to study it in prayer
and
searching. And so, Brother Arnold, man, you've been through the Seventh-day Saturday thing. You kept it as long as I did, probably. And I kept it for over 20 years faithfully and refused to work on a Saturday, thinking that that was the right way. And then the light came in, and the Bible said that we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And here in Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5, and we've often referred to this, and you've got it illustrated as one of the examples here of the 80 that's listed here. And it says in Amos 8 and 5, when will the new moon be gone? Now, if it was a continuous 7-day cycle up there, and the 11 months, if it wasn't the seventh month where they acknowledge that you've got to rest on that day, that's the only one that they will acknowledge. And that's because you can definitely go to Numbers 29:1 and read it. It says no servile work to be done on that day. Now, because that the others can't be read, here is the Israelites. They're over here in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5. They're complaining about the new moon being a burden to them, that they have to wait. And in the floating weekly Sabbath. Now, notice this. Let me read a paragraph out of a website, a famous website, and this man's got books. He's a publisher of his false doctrine. But let's expose him right here. Listen to what he says about those who practice the lunar Sabbath. We do not worship or serve the men who promote a lunar floating weekly Sabbath involving the moon cycles. So we don't have to fear them or their teachings. But we should not be hateful to them in their deceptive either. There is not a single text from Scripture which suggests or implies that the seventh-day Sabbath is regulated or connected to the moon or its phases. Now, would you care to comment on that?
Well, I just quoted scripture a while ago. He said the moon Sabbaths are Moedim's, and the week of Sabbaths are Moedim. In Genesis 1:14, he said, let them, talking about the great lights, be for days and years, signs and seasons. That word season there is appointment. Anybody would have to argue the week of Sabbath is not an appointment, but he's talking about worship appointment. Of course, you can keep other appointments by the moon,
mm-hmm.
but over in Psalms 104:19, when he said he appointed the moon for seasons, that word season, again, same identical word as in Genesis, is that word Moedim. Moedim is talking about worship appointments. And then in Leviticus 23, in verse 2 and 3, he said, these are my Moedim's feasts.
Right.
But he used the word feast, but it's the same identical word as season.
Same identical word.
And it's just translated feast there for some reason. But it's the same word. In other words, he said, these are my Moedim, which are appointments, or feasts. And the first one is the weekly appointment after 6 working days. This is throughout the whole year there. And so if the moon is for Moed, and the weekly Sabbath is a Moed, or worship Moed, and he said, these are my worship Moeds, 6 days, then rest. Well, then why argue with that? Why not find out how it works instead of trying to disprove it that it's not, and just say, well, it's for all these annual Moeds, but it ain't for the weekly Moeds. Well, where do you find that at?
Yeah.
If you'll follow them instructions in Leviticus 23, they'll always be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th.
Okay, let me give you
of the month, of the moon.
All right, let me give you a scripture I think would confirm just what you said, and you just quoted 104. Let me quote Psalms 81:3. Blow the ram's horn at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, and on our festival day. Now, why would they blow the ram's horn? Isn't that to announce that a new month has begun, Brother Arnold?
The silver trumpet is announced as the new month. The ram's horn there in Psalms 81 is a festival. It's the 15th.
Okay.
That word there, blow up the trumpet in the new moon at the full, King James says at the time appointed. Well, that word time appointed is mentioned again over there where the adulterous woman, her husband was away, and it means full moon. And at the time appointed, it's a new moon or new month. That word new moon can also mean new month.
That's correct.
And I believe that he said, if you read on a little further, it said when they delivered their shoulders from the burden and their hands from the pot, what they done, he delivered them on the 15th.
Amen.
And that's when you blow the ram's horn. Now on the new moon, it saith, like the first day of the month, you blow the silver trumpet. We got silver trumpets in our assembly. And we got 2 silver trumpets, pure silver. And he says, do it. Also in a time of trouble, he said, if you blow with them, he said, I'll hear and help.
Amen. Amen.
But yeah, we believe the scripture. And I don't argue with that. And that's their problem. That's where they get in trouble, it and not obeying Ezekiel 46:1, where he said there's 3 different categories, where it teaches there's 3 different categories of days. He said, let the gates stay open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon, but let them be shut the 6 working days, but leave them open. You see, the last Sabbath of the month, and then you got your new moon worship day. But they want to count the new moon as one of the 6 working days when it gets here.
They most certainly do, brother, and that is the error right there, brother. Brother Arnold, that is the error, and then what they do, they subscribe to the Gregorian calendar that will tell them that Saturday is the seventh day. Now, expound a little bit again on the error of the Gregorian calendar. It is not Yahweh's timepiece, Brother Arnold, and we know that for a fact, that it was invented by unholy men, and all of these people that claim to be holy now keeping Saturday, they want to be like those unholy men that determine that Saturday was the seventh day. What is the error of that, Brother Arnold, outside?
Well, I think a lot of them, through ignorance, and men like to write these books and hide behind these books, and they love to do things in darkness and in secret. What it is, that just people have never really looked into this, brother Buddy. It's one of the most provable doctrines in Scripture, and it's just hard to get somebody to take a look. What the error of the Roman pagan calendar is, first of all, Yahweh don't put his holy days on that day. That day, I'll tell you, when Christmas, Easter, and all of these pagan days, Halloween, all this, but it don't tell you when the Day of Atonement, the new moon, all, because they took the moon out of that calendar, and it's a strictly solar-only calendar. In other words, they got the sun letting you know when the year and the day begins, which is correct, Genesis 1:14, but then they do the way with the moon, so they take the sun and use it for the week. See, the moon determines the month and the weeks. You got 4 weeks each moon, a month. You got new moons, 6 work-a-days, Sabbath on the 7th day of the week, but it's 8th day of the month. Then the 15th, then the 22nd, then the 29th. And it begins anew again.
Oh.
And you leave the gates open. So what they've done, Brother Buddy, is they booted the moon out of the picture. Julius Caesar in 46 B.C. introduced it. And you can verify this in any encyclopedia. Look under calendar. And so he said, let's don't use the moon anymore in calculating the calendar. So they threw it out.
Okay.
So what they got to do, now they got to count it as one of the 6 working days.
Well, let me ask you a question right here, and I'm play the devil's advocate again, and I'm going to quote from this website. It's a famous website, and a lot of people are deceived by it. It's deceptive by the man that created it. Now, notice this. In his heading here, he's got false teaching, lunar Sabbath. Now, listen to what he said.
Well, does the man have a name?
Yes, he does.
Well, Apostle Paul named him. He said, that coppersmith caused me much harm. You know, I heard a preacher one day, Brother Buddy, going on. He said, there's a certain preacher out there on the radio, and he's got his hand in y'all's pocket. He's a known homosexual, and he's giving you money, but I ain't going to tell you who he is because some of you know him. Well, my goodness, he's got his hand in my pocket and getting, because, I don't contribute to any of them, but anyhow, I thought, my, tell him who he is.
Well, okay, now we're gonna name names here a little bit later on when we set up the debate. That's when I mean, we're not gonna hide this fact.
I don't think whoever wrote it surely is not ashamed of what he wrote. I mean, I hope people call my name when they say I believe this, that. And it's okay to call me a false teacher, a false prophet. The scripture's gonna let you know who's false and who's true, you know.
That is correct. Now listen to this quote here. The fact that men of Yahweh worked or traveled on a new moon is one of the strongest indications that it was never understood to be a day of rest except the 7th day that we just mentioned. Now, could you comment on that?
Well, first of all, that's not, all through the scripture, like you quoted a while ago in Amos, when will the new moon be gone? That we can buy corn,
mm-hmm.
and the Sabbath that we can set forth wheat. In other words, today they go on by it on the new moon. It to them it ain't a worship day.
Right.
Now this ain't talking about. Now they'll say that this was talking about the seventh new moon, the 7th month. But notice the Sabbath and the new moon mentioned together.
Okay.
And also when you go over there to 2 Kings, I think 4. Get which verse, 2 Kings 4, it talks about that woman whose son had died, and she went into the field and told her servants to saddle her an ass, said that she's going to go see the man of Yahweh. And her husband said, why go today? It's neither new moon or Sabbath. Now, they ain't talking about the 7th new moon.
No, it's not.
They're talking about they were out in the field working, which they wouldn't have been had it been a Sabbath or a new moon. Now, I do admit, now, here's what the straw man they create, Brother Buddy.
Okay.
They'll go over there. See, we don't claim the new moon to be a Sabbath. And neither does Yahweh. In Ezekiel 46:1, the gate shut 6 working days, but open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. There's a distinction between Sabbath, new moon, and 6 working days. There's 3 categories of days.
Gotcha.
Now, what they'll do is say, see, the new moon, it can't be a Sabbath because new moon, here's where they traveled, or here's where they done this or that, or they cooked, or whatever.
Okay.
Well, the new moon is still a worship day. I don't care what they done on it, but it's not counted as one of the 6 working days. Now, I know it's not as strict as a weekly Sabbath, because see, a weekly Sabbath, you don't even carry nothing in and out of your houses. But on the new moon, we find where they Moses reared up the tabernacle, and they done traveling on the new moon. They took a census on the new moon. So it wasn't as strict, but it's still a worship day. And it will be in the new heaven and new earth, according to the word of Yahweh,
right,
by the prophet Isaiah.
Right.
So they attacked that, and they said, see, I'm going to show you where they done this and that. It can't be a Sabbath. We never said it was a Sabbath.
Right.
We said it's a worship day. The Bible says it's a worship day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. But now these naysayers, or these people that are trying to it almost seems to me, Brother Arnold, looking at it from their standpoint of the seventh-day cycle of the rotation system, is that they're trying to prop up the seventh-day Gregorian teaching. And you go back there, and history doesn't support the Gregorian calendar as the actual timepiece of the Bible. And yet they try to bring it into the Bible and say that those who developed the Gregorian cycle, the international dateline, and all of these factors that they factor into the time, Brother Arnold, it is nothing but Babylonian confusion when you really examine it and bring it down to where it hits home. And no wonder they do not want to get on the radio and debate this Babylonian confusion, because they're trying to justify it and defend it.
Well, I think they need to join forces with this brother if he don't change his mind or whatever, and try to help him out and earnest contend, because I think they're smart enough, though, not to do it, because they know it's too much. It's going to make them look too bad. You know, there's too many things in the scriptures that's an embarrassment to their doctrine. Now, they say, people say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, the New Testament teaches that there in, I think, Colossians, it says, let no man therefore judge in respect in these new moons and Sabbaths.
Right.
And so, just like in Isaiah, and Paul said, which are a shadow of things to come. Not was a shadow, like it's done away with. People say the Sabbath, new moon's done away with. But they both stand or fall right there. If one's done away with, they're both done away with. But we know neither one of them's done away with and won't be in new heaven, new earth.
Okay, let me quote you a scripture, Brother Arnold, and you might want to comment on this. This is in the Bible, of course, and Yahweh spake unto Moses. This is in Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day. Now, why was he in the tabernacle? The gates were open, according to Ezekiel 46:1, on that day. Had they been closed, they would have been no word come on that day, because this is the time that Yahweh spoke to Moses, and it was on, listen to this, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they would come out of the land of Egypt. And Numbers 1:1 happened to be a new moon when he instructed Moses to number all the males above age 20, and it shows that Israel was observing the new moons. They were getting the word on the gates were open on that day, Brother Arnold, and the gates were open to receive the engrafted word, which will save you if you use it. If you deny it, you will be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy.
Absolutely. I guess people's at different stages, and we're trying to, you know, have mercy on them, because, you know, it's not the people so much as it is the leaders. It's the hardheads, the diehards. They get something in their head, and you try to tell them something. Instead of listening to what you're saying, they're thinking of what they're going to say next. I've been guilty of doing that. But what we need to do is hear one another out and not try to disprove something necessarily, but try to find the truth.
Amen.
And that's what they get their mind on, trying to have them gathering quail on the Sabbath there and say, there the whole day was traveling or gathering quail, so it can't be a Sabbath. Well, if you read on, it was a Sabbath. Don't matter what they were doing.
Amen, brother.
Why not just line the scripture up where, like it teaches, they wasn't doing either one on the Sabbath?
Amen. Now, let me give you another new moon example, okay? And this is in Ezra chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. It shows that on the first day of the 10th month. Now, this is the first day of the 10th month. It ain't the seventh month. It's the first day of the 10th month that they sat down. Now, that means they ceased from labor when they sat down to sort out the matter where some of the Jews had racially intermarried, and they were coming to grips with a problem that their community faced. But what is it got to do with the new moon? Again, they only gathered on the new moon to consider that they had other opportunities if it had been a work day other than a Sabbath day. You see, the new moon is a day that they were to conduct Yahweh's business, and we know that in the 40th chapter of Deuteronomy that they raised up the tabernacle on the new moon. It was like Yahweh said, look, this is a day that I want you to come and do something for me and to help me out here and to support this temple raising. And listen to what it said, and the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, in other words, it was all the tribes represented, and all of them by their names were separated and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all of the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. Now, listen to that. It was on the 10th month that they started this. And now notice when they finally got the job done. It was on the first day of the first month. It took them 2 months to address this problem, and each time they gathered back and ceased their labor on the new moon.
Well, I think most of these scholars, that's not all of them, I don't know any that don't, would agree that they originally observed new moon days. It's just like it says over there, I think it's Numbers 10, somewhere around in there. It says to make the 2 silver trumpets to blow on the new moons and Sabbaths over your office.
Well, if it wasn't important to announce that that we'd begin a new month, which was Yahweh's way, and the examples of the Bible, although Numbers 29:1 specifically says that in the seventh month they weren't to work, it doesn't take away from the fact
right. That
we see examples here where they were gathered on the first day of the 10th month here, and then the first month. We got 2 examples here in the book of Ezra chapter 10. It's conclusive that they ceased their labor, they came together, they settled this matter. It was a business matter on the new moon. Now listen to this. Now, how do we know when a new moon comes? Well, let's find out. And David said unto Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 5. We've referred to this often, but I want to reiterate here. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. It was a special day, Brother Arnold, that they ceased from their labors, and they gathered on these special days to conduct the business of our Heavenly Father, the one that they served. And the new moon was a day that they observed that the gates were open for this matter. He says, I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. That was a 2-day Sabbath, or a 2-day new moon. And Jonathan said to David, again, this is in the 18th verse, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Now, Brother Arnold, it was important for them together on the new moon to cease from their labor and to conduct the king's business along this would be almost like the parliament, the theocratical government. Back at that time, they were under a theocratical, they were under the laws of Yahweh. They weren't under Republicans or Democrats. They weren't socialists or communists. They were under the theocratical word of the Torah, which is the book of Yahweh, and the examples needs to be presented to the people to give them a chance to hear this word. Brother Arnold, we're not, as you said many times, we're not the many, we are the few. And if we was to compare ourselves with the Seventh-day proponents of the seven-day rotation, we would be dwarfed by the enormous crowd that's keeping Saturday. And I know a lot of our friends around the radio network here on WWRB 3.185 that we're broadcasting even around the world, Brother Arnold, simulcasting on the Internet. And we have a valuable tool here to get the truth out. All we're interested, we're not, if somebody can come on here and convince us and to prove to us in biblical related scriptures that the seventh day rotation cycle of Saturday is the day, and they can answer all these questions that we've got for them, we would gladly switch over if they got Bible to lead us out of this darkness that they say we're in, which is the lunar darkness. Well, let me tell you something, Brother Arnold. The Bible is true, and every man is a liar, and as long as the Bible would defend the new moon and the Sabbath based on the 8, 15, 22, and 29, and here again, we have a reward of $10,000 to offer to anybody. This ought to be worth looking into, folks. We're not trying to pull any wool or blow any smoke. We're just bringing the definite scriptures as it's stated in the Bible that everybody should know without a doubt that the word of Yahweh is true and every man's a liar, and we got $10,000 for anybody that can prove the Sabbath other than 8, 15, 22, and 29. Brother Arnold, what's so bad about presenting the truth and coming on and debating this? And if anybody could say, okay, well, I'm going to give you an example where they kept a Sabbath on a day other than the 8th, 15th, and the 22nd, or 29th, and they would read an example in a mouth of two or three witnesses. We would take two scriptures on it. And if they can't read it, then why should we change our position of worshiping in the lunar 8, 15, 22, and 29 with the new moon as our beginning of the days other than the week, which is it's unbiblical. It's not according to the Bible. It don't set no example that the Hebrews kept a weekly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 count. It's out of sync, Brother Arnold. It won't line up with the Word, and we have example after example. I could spend all day just on the 8th day revelation, and here we offer $10,000 for anyone to prove any other day than the 8th day, the 15th day, the 22nd and 29th. That's not unreasonable, is it?
No, absolutely not. You're talking about that 7th month. The 7th month is a special month, and it is, you know, a strict no work day. But now, like you said a while ago, them other months are no work day, but the 7th month is a special no work day. If people would realize what the new moon commemorates,
yes.
A lot of people don't even know what it commemorates.
Amen, brother.
The new moon commemorates the creation.
Amen.
When everything was dark, when he created heaven and earth.
Amen.
And that's what a new moon is, when there's no light, the light goes away, and at that instant it starts rebuilding at the conjunction there. Now, you've got to realize that the weekly Sabbath commemorates the rest that he done in creation after resting, after working on his creation for 6 days. He rested, but he created heaven and earth before he said, let there be light, and divided it from the darkness. The heaven and earth was here. A lot of people don't understand that. But anyhow, it was here. Then he worked on it for 6 days and rested the seventh day. And, you know, that commemorates the creation of the new moon and then your weekly Sabbath. Once a month, you got a 1 or 2 day new moon, and then you got your weekly Sabbath. And it'll always be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. It's just that simple. What people have done today, they don't know nothing but a solar week, 1 through 7. Because when they done away with the new moon, they started just counting it in with the 6 working days.
Well, Brother Arnold, let's just do a hypothetical example here. Let's say, for instance, that all of a sudden, all of the calendars devised by the Gregorian system disappeared off the walls. And we didn't have that. We didn't have television and radio and clocks and watches and things of this nature. All that disappeared. And we actually weren't observing the new moon by the light system, the beacon, as you mentioned in Genesis 1:14, and they weren't going by that. How would they tell one day after 2 or 3 weeks? Wouldn't it be Babylonian confusion all over again?
Absolutely. You know, it's just like them tribes. See, some of them would be way on the other side somewhere, and somebody's going to forget to make a mark on the barn door or something, you know, and then they're going to meet somewhere, and they're going to be arguing which day is the weekly Sabbath, because, you know, one tribe was saying, well, I think we kept up with it, and other thinks they kept up with it. And I want to tell you something else, too. This will take a little brain power, but let's say that in the Garden of Eden, let's say that one tribe traveled east and one tribe traveled west, and they both didn't miss a beat on the traditional 1 through 7 cycle.
Right.
Well, when they meet halfway around the earth, let's say their ancestors, of course they wouldn't meet, but let's say their ancestors met 100 years later, 1,000 years later on the other side of the earth.
Okay.
You know they'll be keeping 2 different 7-day Sabbaths.
That's an excellent.
Under the same sunrise and sunset.
Amen.
And listen, and neither one of them missed a beat. The reason for this is, when they're traveling east, they're going to be gaining time because they're going to keep seeing the sun come up earlier and earlier and earlier.
Amen.
And then when they get their ancestors reach the halfway around the earth, their mother going west, their ancestors are losing a half a day because they keep going around. So that equals a full day. Now, if they go all the way around the earth and meet again, they're going to be 2 days apart. But
correct.
Anyhow, here's my point. With the traditional Sabbath, that's what you would have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of them would be keeping the seventh day and never miss a count, but they'd be keeping 2 different seventh days. And then, not on top of that, if that ain't enough, you got with the man-made Sabbath, you got your international dateline. It's a counterfeit. It's a man-made. Just
amen.
Like that calendar itself is an artificial measurement of time.
Amen.
You can work it, and people do. We work it today. But it's not the creation Sabbath and the creation calendar.
Amen, brother. You know, in biblical times, people didn't have the radio, the television, or the Gregorian calendars, and we know that for sure. But which gives us information. They tell us what day it is, in other words. And we got to believe it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday by the Gregorian. Faithful observance of each new moon by the ancients in biblical times ensured that the calendar would never become corrupted. The preservation of the calendar depended on the correct identification of each new moon to people in the biblical times. New moons were what our radios and televisions and diaries are to us. It reminds us of exactly where we are in the time-wise of the year. Brother Arnold, it is the only identification that Yahweh himself said in the heavens where man can't corrupt. And it's according to Daniel 7:25 that there would raise up a powerful religious body that would deceive the whole world and have them worshiping the beast, and that they would literally change times and laws. And you know, we used to think that it was the Catholic Church, and we still believe that. And we used to think that they changed the seventh day Sabbath of Saturday to Sunday. And a lot of people still believe that. Brother Arnold, we've got beyond that. That's just jumping out of the frying pan and getting right back into the fire of deception. Because they're the ones that give us Saturday, and as you say, the international dateline and a number of other factors go into the development of the Gregorian calendar. These were wise men who conspired, according to Daniel 7:25. They would think. In other words, that's premeditation, that they would devise a plan, a time system, that would take us out of Yahweh's true appointments, which is the new moon and 8, 15, 22, and 29 without fail, and we could start every month, Arnold, if they were done away with the Gregorian calendar, which I hope that, and I hope someday they will. And according to Isaiah 66, verses 23, the day will come that we'll no longer have to depend on the Gregorian and everybody that makes it into that kingdom. Now listen to this. This is very, very important to everybody that's trying to make up their mind tonight to listen. Now when we get on into the debate and we get somebody live here, I've been playing a devil's advocate against you tonight, but when we get the actual people that promote this and defend it, and we get them on the fire, the word is the fire. And let me tell you something, brother. This fire, the Bible said the gospel will shut every mouth. And what we're trying to prove is that we want to proclaim the gospel in its truth and its sincerity, that men should be furnished with all good works, and they should rightly divide the word, and that they should seek Yahweh from the beginning of the day to the going down of the sun, which is exactly what we started this message with, and we're going to have to end it here tonight because we're about to run out of time. But we're going to continue this message, Brother Arnold, on part two coming up on your half hour. We'll begin on the hour with your message. We'll stop here, and we'll go out tonight with a song. And as soon as the song is ended, you'll be coming back on, Brother Arnold, live, and I'll be your guest on the 30 minutes. And we've got an hour and a half here tonight to expound on this wonderful truth. And when we debate, we will give this time up to you, and you can have the hour and a half. And if anybody wants to purchase any more time to hear more of it, we will record it. And we will make it available on our website and make it free on CDs to anybody that would like to order it and to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, you know, Brother Arnold, the Bible is very distinct in its proving all things. In other words, you just gave an illustration here in Exodus chapter 16, verse 6. I want to remind the people again before we close that at even, it wasn't at 3 o'clock, it was at even when that Yahweh brought the quail in. Now listen here, verse 13. And it came to pass that at even, when the 15th Sabbath had ended, that the quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning they received bread. So that's two distinct words, evening and morning. It actually gives you the two time things. It begins in evening, and in the morning would be the next day. That's the 16th. So we've got conclusive proof here, and I don't know how anybody could kick on that word other than they say, oh, I believe that the evening started at 3 o'clock. Well, that's their thinking, and that's their theory, but it can't be proven in the Word of Yahweh. Now, let me give my mailing address, Brother Arnold, and then I want you to give yours, and then we will pause with our music to bring you up here, and both of us will come back live. All right? If you'd like to call Brother Buddy and you'd like to request this series that Brother Arnold and I have done, there will be about 14 parts of this series when we conclude on the message of the Sabbath, the lunar, that we're advocating. And we're also giving you the version of those who promote the seventh day. We used to be seventh day people. You could call Pastor Buddy tonight at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to go to our website, it's oneyahweh.com. If you'd like to drop me an email, it's buddy1@centurytale.net. But Arnold, give your website, give your telephone number, and tell them about this free booklet you've got.
Website is Lunar Sabbath. That's easy to remember, lunarsabbath.info. Remember, I-N-F-O. LunarSabbath.info, and you can call me. Of course, we're going to be on here another 30 minutes, but as soon as the broadcast is over, air code is 770. Phone number is 483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. We got a book that's called Proof That the True Weekly Sabbaths Are Determined by the Moon. And you know, we might mention too that where somebody has finally accepted our challenge, you know, after 10 or 12 years, somebody's going to actually try to defend the Saturday Sabbath or try to prove lunar Sabbath.
Praise Yahweh.
There's no way they can defend against it. And hopefully some of these guys that's writing these articles are supposed to be
authorities.
We'll help this fella out because he's got enough boldness to do it. He's going to need some support, so y'all need to put some skin in the game too, you know.
Amen.
Get a little skin in the game because, you see, this is a very important doctrine. And it's a commandment. It's a life and death situation. And that's why we're earnestly contend for it, Brother Buddy.
All right, Brother. We praise Yahweh for the examples that we've had tonight.